Today, I'd like to talk with you about the battle within, the battle inside of a Christian that we wage. Not just the battle outside, but the battle inside of us. Do you have a battle going on inside of you as a Christian to which God has called you? Or should we always just be peaceful inside, totally in harmony, without any conflict whatsoever, sort of like a peaceful, placid, calm mountain lake? Or is there a conflict, a battle, a war that rages on inside of us that we need to fight as Christians? Well, let's take a look today at the battle within and what God teaches us about that in His Word. Because, you know, a lot of Christians can get very discouraged if they don't understand this. They think, I've been a Christian for so many years, I should be perfect, I should have peace, I should have no inner conflict whatsoever. And so they get very discouraged because they feel something going on inside of them, a great raging back and forth. But God comes to speak to us today, a word that you not be discouraged by these things, but rather encouraged by them. We'll see what He teaches about that then through His Word, the Scriptures. First of all, we need to note very clearly that we as Christians are indeed a people at war. Is this true? Well, the Scriptures are very clear to us about this. You know, a lot of people don't want to hear that we're at war or that we have to fight. But let's see what the Bible teaches us about this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, we read, Paul says, though we, Christians, live in the world, we are not carrying on a worldly war. For the weapons of our warfare are not worldly, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. So we are engaged in a battle, a royal war, a holy conflict. But it's not an earthly war. It's a cosmic battle. It's on a higher level. It's in spiritual realms that we wage this great fight, this military engagement, says Paul. And we have divine power in it that comes from the Lord Himself to win and to go for victory. You know, in 2 Corinthians 6, Paul says, we have weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left. Paul tells Timothy in his letter to him, take your share of suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. So he's a soldier. We're all soldiers. And if you look over at 1 Timothy 6, Paul tells Timothy, fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. So we are called to a good fight. And this is very important for us to understand, because when we think about worldly war, we want to avoid war, generally, or at least our media, too, over the last number of decades has taught us all war is bad. It's just horrible. War is hell. There's nothing good about it. We should just avoid it. It's evil and such things. And so we might be kind of resistant to thinking we have to fight in a war or to go into it bravely and enthusiastically. But we need to understand the battle that we're in is different from an earthly battle where it might be righteous or it might not be a righteous cause. The battle that we're in is a holy war. The Holy Spirit here calls it the good fight. So say the word good. This is something that you can go into without any pangs of conscience. It's good versus evil. It's God, our King, versus the evil one. This is right versus wrong. This is a royal battle that you are called to engage in, to have military conflict with, to clash your sword against, to put up your dukes, and to fight as a Christian. It's a good war. Do you know that General Patton, who was not always the most careful with his words, but he had a comment about war. He said in World War II, war is great. It brings out the best in everyone. Well, that's true and kind of not true. Sometimes it brings out the worst, but sometimes it does actually bring out the best. courage, service, loyalty, self-sacrifice, duty, are all put on great display in the battle. And we are called, friends, to a good fight, a royal war, a holy engagement. And so we ought to run to this with actual excitement, because God calls us to it. Don't be afraid of it. So who do we fight, though? Who do we clash our steel with, our swords? Against whom are we battling in this? Well, there are three fronts to our battle as Christians. The first front, as you know, is the devil, a spirit, the evil one. We read in Ephesians 6, and you guys know this so well, but let's just read it for our refreshment here. Ephesians 6 says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might." Be a strong soldier, in other words. "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." For he's a very crafty and sneaky enemy. He has very many schemes. He's very tricky and he's very aggressive. But we are to fight against him first. Peter says that you're be sober, be alert, be watchful. Your adversary, your enemy, the devil, he prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Resist him firm in your faith. So there's a word of fight. We fight him. And we know that our Lord Jesus Christ came, remember, not for peace, but for war. "I came not to bring peace," he says, "but a sword," right? And what did he do? According to John, it says, "The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil." So Jesus, our King, came for war. And so if our King is in battle and war against that King, then we also are at war with that opposing king who our king fights against. So we're at war with the devil. And we need to stand strong. You know, our king fights. He loves the good fight. Our king loves this war because he says, "He who sits upon a throne," that's Jesus, upon the white horse in Revelation 19, "is called faithful and true, and in righteousness he judges and makes war." So our king runs to this fight, and he's excited about it, and it's a good fight. So we should be excited about it and run to this fight as well, because we're fellow knights with him. He is the king, and we are the cavalry, riding with white hats with him against the villain, the devil. And don't be afraid of this enemy, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Jesus will give you the victory. So that's front number one. The second front of our battle, as you again know, this time is we wage war against the world. Because Jesus says this in John chapter 15, verse 19. He says, "If you were of the world would love its own. But because you're not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you." So are you at battle and waging war against the world that's all around us of unbelievers? Yeah, you are. The reason, of course, is because they hate our king. We love our king. If they hate our king, then they're going to hate us because we stand for our king. This is a battle that God has placed us into. And the battle we see here rages every day. Because if you think about it, what do we try to do as Christians? We try to put Jesus our Lord into everything. We want him in government and in schools, or, you know, we want him at everybody's hearts. We want him first and foremost. What do they want to do? Get Jesus out of everything. Out of our schools, out of our classrooms, out of university campuses. They want him out of the government. No Jesus here. Nah, not on a civil, front property of some civil building. They want to get him out of the military, out of sports, out of Hollywood, out of internet, out of the world, because they're rebels. they are at war with our king, and therefore we are at war with them. We want Jesus in, they want Jesus out. We want righteousness in, they want righteousness out. And so what are we seeing if you turn on the news? They're promoting everything that's anti-Bible, basically. Evil, corruption, sexual perversions, and such things all over the place. In a word, they want worldly glory and Satan in, not Jesus. And so we are at war with the world. And here too, again, it's a royal battle. You are with the king of all, and we shouldn't be afraid of this one. First John 5, John says, we know that we Christians are of God, and the whole world is in the power of the evil one. And we're called to conquer then the world, namely, not let it stop or conquer us. So that's the second front of the battle. Let's now get to the third front of the battle, which is the main one for today, the battle within. The third person or thing that we're to fight against actually is yourself. Doesn't that sound strange? But God has called you to a royal fight against you. But not all of you, just a certain part of you. What part of you are you supposed to fight in this royal battle? Your flesh. Exactly. There's an evil side to each one of us. If you think about it, we all want to be righteous, right? Perfect. Perfectly good in every way. But we all know inside of us there's a dark side. There's a traitor. There's a seditious turncoat who's seeking at every turn in the road to trip us up and to make us go after wickedness and evil. And I bet you all feel it, that raging battle inside of you daily. That when you want to do right, evil inside of your own body wants to go in the wrong way. And so that is our old nature, the one that we inherited from Adam, our first ancestor. And doesn't that seem strange that we should get evil from our ancestor? But you know, before Christ came, before we were born again, we all only had one nature. Which one was that? The evil one. The evil nature. And let's read about that one in Ephesians 2. Hear what we used to be and what used to rule inside of us. Ephesians 2, you know this well. You were dead through the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world. So we were friends with the world. Following the prince of the power of the air, we were friends with the devil, in a sense. The spirit that's now at work in the sons of disobedience. Among these we all once lived, in the sinful passions of our flesh. Following the course of this world, and following the desires of body and mind. And so we're by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. Don't you feel that inside of you? That there's a traitor, there's a dark side, there's an evil inside lurking within that wants to go in the way that is wrong and evil? Well, the Bible says that's in us. It was passed down from our first ancestor, Adam. When he sinned, death entered into him, sin, and he's passed it on to his offspring. Doesn't that seem strange, though? Why should you have to suffer because of a sin of your ancestor? Well, take a teenager, young woman on the streets here in Cape Canaveral. What if she's addicted to cocaine and she then gets pregnant through a one-night stand? She has a child from that, and her child, she was addicted to cocaine, and her child, though did nothing wrong, is also born with what? Addiction to cocaine. Didn't do anything to deserve it, but has a drive and a desire for that drug like her mother did, until hopefully delivered. But so we all have a desire for evil, don't we? If I put a sign on that door and it says, wet paint, don't touch, what's the first thing you want to do? Look there to the right, look to the left, no one's looking, and you swipe it. Yeah, indeed. I'll see if it's wet or dry. Because as soon as I give the commandment, your body wants to go after the way of evil. It's the same for all of us. We have this sinful nature. From Adam, it's hell-bent. And it wants to go after evil. what happened when Christ came? He saved us. He came and died for our sins on the cross. He achieved our salvation. He won victory. And you then, coming to him by faith, are saved, justified, redeemed, forgiven, and made altogether new. Right? If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. So you're a new person, entirely new in Jesus. You no longer, you know, are ruled by this heaven or have hell-bent nature, but what do you have? God's nature. It's heaven-bent. You actually have a nature in Jesus that wants to go after the right, the cause of the truth, to serve your king, and to stand strong in the royal battle for him. And that's marvelous. Let's read about that over here in Peter. Peter, 2 Peter 1, says, God has granted to us his precious and very great promises. Through these we may escape from the corruption that's in the world because of sinful passions, and we become partakers of the divine nature. So say the words divine nature. Divine. Do you guys have a nature inside of you now? A new one that is from heaven? God's own nature resides inside of you and is in charge. We read, actually, 1 John 3. No one born of God commits sin, for God's nature abides in him. And he cannot sin because he's born of God. So we have something in us that now wants to go after the right. Don't you feel it now? If you feel like going after evil, that the good nature in you is like, no, no, I won't go that way. I'm going to go in the right way. Though it be tough, I'm going in the right way. Well, that's the battle inside of us. Ephesians 4, Paul says, put off the old nature and put on the new nature, which is created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. So let me ask you a question. Then how many natures do you have as a Christian? Follow me, that's right. How many? I'll give you, okay. A is one nature, B is two natures, C is three natures. We have two natures. That's the answer. I'll give you the answer, okay? Wake up, people. We have two natures, okay? Which one?
Good and evil.
Well, we have the old nature, hell-bent, evil, from Adam. We have the new nature from Christ that wants to go after good. So there's two things battling and conflicting, military engagement inside of us. The good versus the evil. What's the difference? The difference is that now that you're in Jesus, the good one's in charge, not the evil one. And the good one is to put the old one down and conquer it as we go. And to share with you an illustration about that, I have this illustration I've shared before from that World War II movie, U-571. You ever see that one? Where there's a German U-boat. It's got an evil Nazi captain, an evil Nazi U-boat on an evil mission, that of the Third Reich. Well, the Americans want to get aboard this boat and capture a decoding machine. So in the course of the story, the Americans come, sneak aboard the German U-boat out in the ocean, because it's disabled. They sneak aboard, take over the old German U-boat, and they are now in command. That's the Americans, the Allies, the good guys, are in charge of an evil boat, but the good guys are in charge, just like in our bodies. Are still the same old boat, right? That we were before we were saved. But now a new person is in command. The Allies, the American captain, let's say the Christian, God's nature. But if you watch the movie, there's a battle that ensues, and they go up to the surface to pick up survivors. Who's the one person that survives? The old German Nazi U-boat captain is the only survivor, and they bring him back aboard and put him into chains. What's that old nature, or that old evil Nazi captain want to do the rest of the movie? To get his old boat back. He wants to get back in charge. He's still aboard. He's still alive, but he's not in charge. The good guys are in charge. Just like with us, the good, not good guy is in charge. He's taken over this old boat of the body. But you got to know, as a Christian, that the old U-boat Nazi commander captain is still alive.
He's not in charge, but he's still on his old boat. And he tries to stir up trouble wherever he can go to cause his old boat, if possible, to be back in his own hands, or if not, to sink it, to destroy it. He's a traitor to the cause of the Allies aboard the ship or the boat. And so in the same way, we've got the same body. We've got a new nature in command, but the old one's still alive. It's not in charge anymore, but it's aboard. And we've got to do what? Just like in the movie, the American captain, when the old guy gets making trouble, he says, put that man into submission. Chain him up. Beat him up. Put him out. Knock his socks off, basically, to not let him get the old boat back. This is what Paul says about our bodies and our souls. He says, I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inmost self, says Paul, but I see in my members, what's that? In his body, right? Another law at war with the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin which dwells in my members, on the boat, in my body. So we think we ought to be perfect as Christians and have no inner conflict. What did Paul experience? He had a war inside of him. The good Paul versus the old evil Paul. When he wants to do the right thing, there's that old evil Paul trying to stir up trouble. Therefore, he says in Galatians 5, walk by the Spirit and don't gratify the desires of the sinful flesh. For the desires of the sinful flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to prevent you from doing what you would. Don't you feel this? Say amen. Are you awake? You know, when I want to go the right way, my good nature is like, go this way. And then the evil nature says, no, go this way. And there's a tug of war inside of me. But guess who's in charge? The Spirit that Christ has given to me to say, put that old evil nature into submission. We're going in the way of the allied cause, the cause of Christ. And we go in the right way. But it's a battle. Put off your old nature with its practices, says Paul, and put on the new nature, he says, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. And Peter says, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the sinful passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. So this is a good fight, a holy war, a royal battle that God calls you to fight. And what do we need to do to win it? Well, one guy said once, I have two dogs inside of me, the good one and the bad one. Which one wins, says the young man to the older gentleman. He says, whichever dog I feed more. Think about that. You have two natures in you, a good nature and an evil nature. Which one wins? The one you feed more. Think about this. You're in the right place today. Your new nature is hearing the words of the scriptures from the pulpit, and it's going, I got strength to fight the day's battle. And it's getting nutrients. It's getting energy. Its supply lines are open. Ammunition is coming in. What's the devil tried to do? He wants to stop that supply line and open up supply lines to feed ammunition to your old nature. Therefore, everywhere you go in the world today, I'm going to shock you now, there's a bikini girl. Right? You go to the store, and there's a scantily clad female on the covers of the magazines, on the internet. You're not even looking for it. It pops up. It's on billboards as you drive down the highway. What's he trying to do? That's just one example. To feed your old nature. To open supply lines up, that it would grow strong, and if possible, regain the ship. Take over the boat again. Take over the body, and get the ascendancy and get back in command. What do you have to do? You have to cut off the supply lines to the old evil nature. Don't let that get in as much as you can, and open up the supply lines for the new nature, namely the Word, Christian fellowship, prayer, and all those things that feed the good nature inside of you that God has placed into you by grace when He saved you. So that's what we're to do. What's the good news for us today is that many Christians are discouraged and discomfited and just defeated in their souls because they're like, I constantly have to fight this fight and I shouldn't have to do this.
I've been a Christian
5 years, 10, 20, 40 years. I should be better than this by now. And they get very discouraged because they feel a battle inside of themselves. But what God's telling us today in His Word is, this is a royal battle. Every Christian has to fight it. And I'm not angry with you that you're having inner conflict. I think it's fantastic, says the Lord. Your King in heaven is smiling upon the inner conflict you face when you engage in this military seeking of conquest. Because I know that inside of you is that old evil captain, but you're putting him into submission, and I love it. I love to see it. So don't be discouraged. Don't think that God's angry with you because you're not perfect yet. Of course you're not perfect yet. God knows you're going to have the sinful nature about you on your boat until you get ashore. Don't worry about it. Lift your drooping hands, strengthen your weak knees, be encouraged. Because the fact that you are fighting inside is proving that you are indeed a Christian. It's not that you're not a Christian, it's that you are. Because only true Christians fight this fight. An old unbeliever only has one nature. Evil captain, evil boat, evil mission, no conflict. You have an old boat, a new captain, and the old one imprisoned. Obviously, you are going to have conflict. It's evidence that you are a Christian if you have inner struggles. You're fighting the good fight of the faith, the royal battle, and God is pleased. So enjoy it. And the good news also is this. You don't have to fight this battle for that much longer. Because eventually in the movie, after the movie, they're going to get that boat ashore, aren't they? And when they do, they don't have to deal with this evil captain forever. Once he gets ashore, he leaves that and the boat behind, and he goes on to his reward of victory. We're shortly going to put off these bodies, which have sin, and we're going to leave it all behind. This will not be a conflict you have to fight for long. You'll leave that old evil captain behind you, your old sin nature, and it'll be gone forever. So while you have the fight and the opportunity, enjoy the fight and bring glory to God by means of it. It's a royal battle. You'll put it off soon. And when you come ashore, you go on to your reward, and God's going to do something even greater for you. He says, I'll take that boat that's at the dockside down there. I'm going to melt down that old submarine, this old body. And out of the metal, I'm going to cause it to become a brand new yacht for you to enjoy forever. That is, God says, I'll raise your body up on the last day and I'll make it all new for you. So you have a new captain, a new boat on the new mission, and all's great. And there'll be peace forevermore then. For your body at present is sown perishable, but it's going to be raised imperishable. Sown in dishonor, raised in glory. Sown in weakness, raised in power. Sown a physical body, raised a spiritual body. So enjoy this royal battle today and don't be discouraged like a lot of us get because you have to fight against sin. Frankly, we all do. But very soon this battle will be concluded. Don't let it trouble you. Enjoy it. It is a holy war, a heavenly conquest, and a royal battle that God has called you to. It's called the good fight. And very soon, our King will come. Let's give Him the glory. Now to Him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you without blemish before the presence of His glory with rejoicing, to our God, the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, and now and forever. Amen.